I will be reading from Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 17. Mark 10, verse 17. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, "How difficult it would be for those to have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." May the Lord bless his word.
Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we listen to this passage and consider what God's word is teaching us here this morning, we need to remember what has just happened previously to this incident with this man on Jesus' journey, that he had just rebuked his disciples and he had encouraged them that we need to receive the kingdom of God like children. And when we talked about that and when we heard about that, it was a few weeks ago now, remember that Jesus is talking about the blessing of belonging and believing in the kingdom of God. That the blessing is that children belong in the kingdom of God. But we also need the presence of children in God's kingdom because their trustworthiness, their awareness of complete dependence on their parents is a lesson for us, that we are completely dependent on God and in his kingdom. That's a lesson for us. We have to receive the kingdom of God like a child. And if we don't, we shall not enter it. And we need to have this kingdom dependence in mind when we read this story, because this story illustrates the danger of belonging but not believing. God's kingdom calls us to cherish the precious place both of belonging and believing for eternal life. As we look at our text this morning, the title of this morning's message is Kingdom Accounting: How We Do Math in God's Kingdom. And our text represents, this interaction with this man represents a failed test in kingdom arithmetic. Because the concern of our text is, what is it that adds up to eternal life? That's the accounting of life in God's kingdom. Now we need to recognize that this isn't a trick question. This isn't higher math, but actually it's quite direct and very simple Mass. But sadly, the simplicity of God's accounting in the kingdom of God escapes many people. And so we're warned about that this morning. As we listen to God's word, we're going to consider, first of all, the all-important question, secondly, the misguided measure, and thirdly, the loving correction. The all-important question, the misguided measure, and the loving correction. The man comes to Jesus and asks one of the most important questions of life. What must I do to inherit eternal life? If you have not pondered this question, I need to tell you that you are avoiding one of the most foundational questions you will ever face. If you have not pondered this question, you don't understand who you are as God's image bearer. That as a human, you have a soul, and that soul is designed and destined for eternity, either an eternity of life or an eternity of death. It is the most urgent issue of our day. It's not the cost of living. It's not who holds the leads in the political polls. It's not the rising crime rates. It's not the effects of climate change. It's what must I do to inherit eternal life? Have you been ignoring that question? Have you thought about that at all? What are you doing for eternal life? What do you need to inherit that? It's the all-important question. And how promising this character of the man who comes to Jesus presents itself. Our text is oozing with the sweetness of this man's potential. Listen to how he's introduced. As Jesus was setting out on his way, a man ran up to him. He comes with urgency. He runs to Jesus. This is the burning question that has existed in his soul. This is the burning question that Jesus has come to answer. How do I inherit eternal life? And he runs to Jesus. Now he hopes he can find an answer for that question that has plagued him throughout his life. Not only does he come with urgency, he comes with humility. For all that he is, he falls down before Jesus. He knelt before him. What a tremendously humbling. This is a man of status. Luke tells us that he is a ruler. He is a man of influence. He has standing in his community, even though he's a young man. And he kneels before Jesus with all humility. And he celebrates Jesus. He looks to him and he says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He's not a scoundrel. He's not some hypocrite. He's been striving to follow God's law from his childhood. And he's wealthy. Wealth in the life of Israel was symbolic of a blessed life, a life that had been looked upon with favor by God. And how respectable this man is. What potential he has for influence in Jesus' camp. And he asks the right question. Wow. Because we've heard this text so frequently, we know how it turns out, but we need to think again of the splendor of what is happening as Jesus draws him to himself and has all these good things going for him. And yet, secondly, we need to recognize while he asks the all-important question, and he poses this question in an all-important manner with humility, with urgency, with awareness, that he has a misguided measure. And Jesus engages with this man. And we need to be aware that this is recorded by the Holy Spirit and given to us because he's not only dealing with this man, he's dealing with this man for our sake. Because this can be our misguided measure. And this man has this measure. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And for him, kingdom arithmetic. There's two words that don't really fit together. What must I do and inherit? An inheritance, you see, boys and girls, an inheritance is a gift. It's given. You don't do something for it. You receive it as a gift. And yet this man, the way he computes things, that he has to do something. It's not a result of what we do, but this man thinks, there must be something else I have to do. A gift like that deserves my contribution. Maybe we can go a little bit further. A gift like that requires my contribution. But in kingdom arithmetic, these two don't fit together. It would be a bit like asking a question that just doesn't make sense to us. How many liters are there in a kilometer? It just doesn't make sense. They don't fit. Do and inherit. In God's kingdom of grace, it's one or the other. You can't have it both ways. But even as we reflect on this misguided measure, notice the compassion and the mercy of Jesus. He doesn't simply dismantle his question and say, "Oh, you've got it all wrong." He uses this man's standard of measure, even though it is misguided, and he highlights what this man needs to do. He says, "Go sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. And when you have done this, you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Why does he do this? Why does Jesus engage in this way? Because it's not just this man, it's the disciples. If this man can't make it in, how can they? But it's not just as his disciples, it's you and me. We so often have a misguided measure. Earlier, the disciples tried to keep the children away. They don't belong. Jesus doesn't have time for them. Now this man comes. Wow. If Jesus doesn't have time for the children this man, Jesus should have all the time in the world for this man. He seems like a perfect fit for the kingdom. He's moral, he's humble, he's wealthy, he's influential. He has what potential? And how desperately we need Jesus' correction. Because our measures are so often misguided. And you see what's behind this? The problem with this misguided measure, it's the reason this wealthy, humble, urgent man comes to Jesus. When this is your measure, you can never be sure that you've done enough. There's always one more thing. or one thing more that you need to do more of. You can never be sure. It sucks the soul dry. Because what if you've missed out on something? What do you need to inherit eternal life? How does eternal life compute in your understanding? Thirdly, we hear Jesus loving correction. Mark is unique in this account and the way he records Jesus' response. Jesus looked at him, loved him. He loved him. Isn't that reassuring? He loved him. Doesn't mean he saves him. It means that Jesus has compassion on him and engages him. Jesus says, there's one thing you're lacking. One thing you're lacking. You lack one thing. Now, if we listen to this and we just overlook everything, we don't see and we'll quickly bypass the fact that the one thing that this man lacks actually involves two different activities. Often our attention, because Jesus says one thing, is the first thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor. You will have heavenly treasures. And it seems to compute. It seems like that's kingdom arithmetic, isn't it? There's one thing you're lacking. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor. And there's many. Oh, I just need to do this one more thing. That's a different accounting system, though. And we need to go back to the way God computes. Jesus isn't saying here, oh, there's one more thing you need to do. Remember, Jesus is telling there's two things. Part of the equation is go, sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you gain even more in heaven. He sets us back and says, wait a minute, it's not about getting more stuff or acquiring more things or doing one more thing. It's about gaining that eternal treasure. This is an eternal arithmetic in God's kingdom, but it doesn't necessarily make sense. And we need to learn this character of giving. That when we give everything away, we gain a treasure. When you lose it all, you're the most secure individual around. We don't think like that. We've forgotten this eternal arithmetic in God's kingdom. We forgot what it means to be a child. Completely dependent on our Father's provision. We need to learn this character of giving. Jesus highlights this with his disciples in verses 23 and following, and Lord willing, we'll touch on that next week. But remember, that's not all Jesus says. This is only half the equation. Because Jesus says, accompanying that selling and giving, you need to follow me. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. This is what love for God entails, following his Son. While the man may have loved his neighbor, Jesus exposes his breaking of the first commandment. He loved his neighbor, and from youth, he hadn't murdered, he hadn't committed adultery, he hadn't stolen, he didn't bear false witness. Jesus doesn't go down into the nitty-gritty details. Instead, he takes him to the most supreme thing. Do you love God? What about the first commandment? What about the first commandment, having no other gods before me, is a commandment about trust? And idolatry is trusting or looking for something to satisfy my soul other than God. Whatever we hope that will satisfy our soul, whatever we hope to have for eternity, that's what will satisfy our soul, and what we cling to is what we make our God. And the first commandment says, leave it all for the sake of God. Trust Him alone. And the man was disheartened. He loved his wealth more than he loved God. His supreme good was holding on to his possessions rather than holding on to God. Jesus is offering us this loving correction, this loving direction. Last Sunday, we considered from Psalm 16, verse 2, O Lord, you are my Lord. It calls for complete surrender. You're my master. I have no good thing apart from you. I am willing to follow you more than cling to anything else. Kingdom dependence of believing and belonging, but particularly of believing that living for God and living with God is your greatest good, is so important, because when you have that, you have begun to inherit eternal life. It's a gift of grace. The disciple of Christ, the one who follows Christ, has to leave everything and follow Him. This is what Jesus says in His prayer. John 17, verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. O Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. That's Jesus' loving correction. Because so often, we simply want to add Jesus to part of the equation of our life. And this calls for a whole new type of arithmetic. Start with the loss. Give up on everything. Give it all away. And follow Jesus. And you will have eternal life. Because kingdom dependence is not just belonging, it's also believing that living for God and with God is your greatest good. The disciple of Christ has to leave all to follow Jesus. And when you do, you realize the units of eternal arithmetic. That losing everything plus Christ equals eternal life. It's the all-important question. What do you need to do to inherit eternal life? Don't be misguided in your measures of value by the temporary accumulation of stuff, or the security, or the supposed security of temporary things in this life, where moth and rust consume, where thieves break in and steal. Remember God's kingdom accounting. Leave everything and follow Jesus. And you will have eternal life. Amen.